Today we're visiting with Dr. Julie Trapp, Boone School Superintendent. Thanks for taking time to come and visit.
Absolutely.
All right. The big story in the room. Mm-hmm. Issue earlier this week, again, at the school, a child had a toy, but actually, all along, we've had policies. That's not acceptable.
Exactly. We treat lookalikes the same as we would a real weapon. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, whether it's a toy gun or a real firearm, that's treated the same way.
Now, I think it probably... Not the way it was handled, because you guys, literally a month ago, your school resource officer kind of walked everybody through, since he is certified to do ALICE training and everything.
Yes.
He kind of walked everybody through, Chase, said, here's how you handle this. Try to do this. Try to do that. Everything went absolutely the way basically you were supposed to handle it.
Absolutely. And our students are really the rock stars here, because they are the ones that alerted adults, the staff, and the administration immediately. So they were able to isolate the student and make sure that everyone was safe at all times. So, yeah, I'm truly happy about having the preparation, and happy that we were able to implement that training in a very... efficient manner.
So, yeah, could we prefer to get it done the way that
Absolutely.
We are trained to do.
Absolutely.
The other part, and we did have somebody show up at the school board meeting that actually had made contact with you earlier.
Yeah.
And it was about the distribution of the information, or getting the information out. Part of it, at least I know people that have students in middle school said, oh, I knew about it right away.
Absolutely. And we did send that out right away. And I think she made a really great suggestion of just thinking about when we want to distribute district-wide and kind of what that timeline would be. I think that what's challenging sometimes is you want to make sure you send out accurate information. And sometimes what information you have at the beginning isn't always the same in the end. So that, I think that she made a very good point, and that's something we definitely will be considering as to how we can always get better at communicating. You always want to get better at communicating. So we want to be as transparent as we can be while still protecting the rights of our students. And so that's what we try to do on a daily basis. We'll just continue to try and get better at that.
Now, I will say that I know some people that have said, there it goes again. Sometimes, again, you might get a lot more information on things than you care to receive.
And that's the dilemma, right?
Yes.
So I think what she posed to our board was a really great question. Which items should go district-wide? Which items should not? And, you know, which ones should be isolated to the building in which whatever may have happened. And so I think that's something that's a great conversation to continue to have. And we want to make sure people read what we do send out. So we do want to be selective in what we send. And we are careful on how we send it. So there are ways to send it where it overrides what people's preferences are, and ways where it does not. So
the flexibility is you do. If you have a middle schooler and a high schooler, you're going to get a lot of more information.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if it's just middle school, or if it's even just at the elementary level, Franklin or Ledges, you'll get that.
Yes.
How far do we get everything else out?
Yes.
Anyway. That's part of the smart. Now, I also heard there were a couple of people said, "Well, I didn't hear anything about it." And some of the people, at least on social media, were going, "You better go check what information your contact information. Make sure it's updated."
Yes, if the contact information in Infinite Campus is not updated, then that would be the only reason someone would not have received the information, because that's where it draws all of the.
Information
from. Yep.
It's not like we didn't warn them earlier.
We tried.
Anyway, there's that going on. Let's talk a little bit about, you got Iowa State Assessment of Student Progress. You got a presentation. Actually, Jill was not there, so we turned it over.
Yeah, we had a pinch hitter, Cindy Bassett, our Director of Student Services, presented on our ISASP data instead, but did a lovely job of pointing out some of our celebrations.
I like the things that she did, because she said, I look for patterns and highlights.
Yes.
And that's what she is. Science, she was really excited about.
Well, we are really excited. Our 8th and 11th graders far exceeded the state average in science. And so that is definitely a celebration for us, because that's A, not something that we have historically been able to succeed in, and B, to not only be above the state average, but at the level at which we were above the state average was really exciting.
And the things that she pointed out again about looking for pattern, because I mean, the board asked her, you know, well, what might be an area where we would have a concern? She said, if you have a pattern that shows that we have a decline in this area.
Absolutely. Well, and I think it was also great to have the question, you know, what do we attribute some of these successes to? And Mr. Johnson talked about, we did implement a lot more nonfiction reading, and that definitely, we feel, contributed to higher test scores in the science area. So having more nonfiction available to our students and having them practice with that, we believe helped. So
there's so many things.
There are so many things, yes.
And again, then the board wanted to know, well, how do we compare to the state? Well, part of it is the state says, well, these are what you'll be considered proficient if you get this level. I mean, those are the state. That's what they're setting.
We don't
get
to pick individual proficiency rates. So they tell us what proficiency is, and then we compare our scores to ourselves to see those patterns, and also to the state. So we see how we compare across the state.
I think one thing Cindy pointed out too is she looked specifically as well, transition from building to building.
Yes.
And she said
it
looked relatively smooth going through there.
Yeah. And it's not a secret that we really are highly focused on that fourth to fifth transition and continue to be, while we've closed the gap some, not as much as we'd like. So that still continues to be a focus. But we saw some pretty decent gains in that eighth to ninth transition. So just continuing to focus on those areas so that we can continue to have more celebrations to bring the next time.
Well, we keep working at it.
That's
too.
Right.
And then they throw in the new part. When the principal said adaptive, I thought, oh, I got to write this word down here because so that we can explain to people. This is an online test that's done.
It is. And so, yeah, most of us, if you grew up in Iowa, took the Iowa test of basic
skills.
Colored
the little...
You had the paper, you had colored in the little dots, and that's not the case anymore. It is completely online. It's no longer timed, which is different than what we had when we were growing up, and it is now going to be completely adaptive, meaning one student sitting next to another student is not going to have the same questions. It adapts to your proficiency as you're testing. So if you get a question right, it gives you a more difficult question. If you get it wrong, then it changes the level of difficulty until you start getting it right again. So it is adaptive. It's different than what I definitely took when I was in school.
Well, I went through a lot of pencils, and
Number two pencil.
Number two pencil.
Yes.
We have that too. We did have an update. Okay, on the Paulette talked about the debt on the side of the lunch program, and basically how the district wants to handle it, how the board would like you to handle it.
Yeah.
We've seen the numbers increase. Several years ago, it was around $5,000. Now the number of accounts is up there in excess of 40.
Yeah, it's about $44,000 of debt right now on our school lunches. And so just really wanted to have first an awareness for our board to realize that that continues to increase. It's not decreasing and how they want us to address that, because we do try to collect that lunch debt and are very willing to do payment plans. But have really struggled to make the headway in that we'd like.
Part of it is there's a federal requirement.
There is a federal requirement that we shouldn't have that debt. Yes.
Yeah. So there is that. And I know you've communicated with other districts, districts in the conference. And again, not everybody's the same.
Not everyone's handling it the same. Yeah. Some districts are using collections as an opportunity to recoup that fund, and others have their attorneys send letters. There are just a wide variety of things that people are doing, and we just wanted to find out kind of what our board would like us to do.
And basically, when you explain to them, we're working with people, if they will work with them as whatever way we can.
Absolutely. The goal is just to make sure that we meet that federal requirement of not having that debt.
Well, good luck on that.
Yes.
Keep working on it. We did decide we're going to send off some FFA students.
Yes.
Two vanfuls if we can, but we don't have anybody running for office or anything like that,
it's a great opportunity.
It is. Yeah. So we'll have, the board did approve that. They'll be going in October. I always like it when they come back.
I do too, because then they share all the things they learned. What's really exciting, though, is our students do get phenomenal opportunities to learn about not just FFA, but leadership in general. And so that's why the question about did we have anyone running for the national level at the leadership level? Not this year, but it doesn't mean that won't happen next year. We'll see. There's one student from Iowa that's currently in the running for that. But we're excited about the opportunities this brings to our students. And we're thinking around 10 or so students this time, 10, 12, hopefully. So they still have their deadlines not till Friday. So they have some time to put in their applications.
We'll see what they do. And again, it's always fun. And I know other FFAs are going to be sending off their people as well. We could have a whole caravan out of here.
Absolutely.
So. You do. And having two people that specialize in FFA, that helps a lot too.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were fortunate enough to hire someone who also teaches some of our science courses. That's the one that we weren't able to fill before, but she also teaches some A courses for us. So she's been able to help out as an FFA sponsor since we brought her on board. So it's nice to have a little help for Jim and have help for kids too.
And the part I like is once they get into their competition, like in springtime, they do very well at the state level.
Yes, so they do.
Some of the other things that came up last night, I guess I'm going to go to the legislative priorities because this is something that the School Board Association asks all school boards to do. And some of them, and not everybody is the same on this.
Nope.
But the ones that for the Boone School District this year haven't really changed too much, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. I don't know that we had specifically the teacher professional development and retention highlighted as much, but that's one that was selected this year. Our state aid is the same. The student achievement is the same as last time. And then I think the local accountability one is new this year for us that they really wanted to
emphasize the need
to be able to make our decisions locally.
Yeah. Rather than have it handed to us or mandate. The unfunded mandates are
correct.
They're
yeah.
the tough ones to deal with.
Yeah.
And it's not that all of these will be the high priorities. Once again, there's more than one school district in the state.
So. IISB just takes all the school district's priorities and then kind of the top four for the entire state then are selected, and that's what the Iowa Association of School Boards focuses on. So it's a way to be heard at the district level than at the state level.
I think one of the things that shows up on the teacher professionalism and retaining that is your number of staff that got lane changes coming up. You have, again, every year we get number, and it was over a dozen this year.
We had 13 that took enough courses to actually move in the lanes that we have in our master contract. So I would just point out that we had other staff that still did learning over the course of this past year that maybe just didn't reach that threshold. So I love that we have teachers that believe in lifelong learning, and we're just excited. With these lane changes, we're now at 57% of our staff having a master's degree or greater. So highly qualified staff teaching our students. We're really proud of that.
And that was one of the things you had said before before the school started was on the retention side, outside of some retirements.
Yeah.
You were able to keep a lot of your staff.
Absolutely, we were. And we'd like to keep that going. So it's been nice to have just a few openings to fill. We've been fortunate as a district to not have, we are not one of the districts that had openings when we started, so.
We like that.
We do.
Being ready to go. We all got our certified annual report. Paulette kind of gave him a lesson in finances.
And, Every year,
it's,
yes.
It's kind of the highlights. If you go to the YouTube recording of it, you get a chance to see what basically she reviewed with him. And there was a PowerPoint, and there's a lot of different things in there that go into it. What is funded by property tax, what is not funded, and again, some of the balances. And that's something that there's been a goal of the board financially to keep those balances within reason.
Yeah, we really want to spend this year's dollars on this year's students. And so that's when she talks about trying to hit that zero, that's what she's talking about. You know, we don't want to be a bank. We don't want to have money that we don't need. We want to be using the money we've got. And I think Matt did a nice job of pointing out that in some cases we're having to spend more than what we bring in because of the needs of our kids, and that's what concerns us is as we move forward, as we do the projections. So that's the next step, is to figure out what those projections look like.
We'll find out when we get enrollment. That'll be coming up in a month, right?
A little
over a month from now. So
yeah, by the time October 1 is when we actually have the count day in the state, and we don't really know until about middle of October kind of where we're going to stand. So
I have an idea,
because that, so if people don't realize, the count day helps us know how we're funded for the next school year. So that doesn't help us for this year. It helps us, helps or hurts us for the following year.
So. And the state does projections for you. And
they do.
I think you feel pretty. So, well, obviously, you're always concerned. No, that's not. They did have projections of a decline for you, but a lot of that had to do with what was graduating and potentially what was coming in.
Yes.
But we have added at least at the kindergarten level.
We have. And so we're hopeful that the projection of the deep decline that they're projecting for us is not going to be accurate. So we shall wait and see.
We'll see. We can't change it now.
Nope.
October 1st, they'll count.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then there's all that waiting and everything that goes in there, too. There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
One thing we do know is the board did approve going ahead the special ed deficit. It's been higher. It's been lower.
Yep. But I don't know if you recall, but when Dr. Stalen was here, that's about the number she thought would be appropriate if you're serving your students appropriately. So don't love that it's a deficit, but the reality is special education's never been fully funded. So, it's...
We're about 500,000.
We're about where we likely would be given our student needs, so...
A couple of the other things that came up, we do know that we did accept the work. Franklin Roof was done.
Yes.
And you saved a little money.
Yes, we did. We saved, what, $59,000?
That
was great. I love those change orders when we get to deduct it from the total. So.
Central States was a little busy here. As soon as I think they, I don't know, they may not even been done with yours when they were finishing or doing Ogden's. And they were slipped a few others in there in the meantime, too.
Yes.
All right. Policies. Let's talk about our having a student on the city council school board.
Yes. Pardon. Yeah. Student on the school board. So this has been a lot of work for our student who has proposed this. He's come several times to the board to kind of talk through what should be part of this process, what shouldn't be part of the process. And now we're gearing up to the next month will be the final draft of a student on the school board. So that I just think it's a great way for our students to have a voice and to learn what it's like to be a part of any kind of board, like the school board. And so looking forward to that real world application that they'll have. And so we kind of figured out the things we want to tweak, and next time we'll approve the final draft.
He's put a lot of work in this.
He has put a lot of work in this.
I wonder if he knew that when he started.
Well, and I think that's what's great about having a student on the school board, to realize what really goes into it and the amount of time it takes to even have conversations around it, because a student will be a non-voting member, but they will definitely be able to share their perspective, their viewpoint on the different topics. And I think it'll be a great learning experience.
And I think what one of the things he had wanted established in there was a mentorship with a board member, existing board.
Which I think is really important because you don't know until you know. So having the board members help kind of mentor the student as they begin so they know how things operate and the kinds of things they should be looking for if as a school board member. So I think the board's also looking forward to that opportunity to mentor some students. So
we'll see.
Yeah.
And the way it's set up, we will have somebody probably by, the October meeting, we'll have the policy.
Yes. And then November, we would swear them in along with any new school board members that we have because we'll have two new school board members.
So. Yes, for those that don't know, there will be an election coming up.
There will be.
So we've got some people that have submitted names. The official names on the ballot will be coming out, I think, in the next week or so.
I think
we'll
so.
That. But we know that we have all school boards in councils, and I think Park Commission in Boone's got a few people up, too.
Yep.
So we'll see who in the November election gets to do what.
So they'll be sworn in November along with our student that's decided upon. So.
It'll be interesting.
It will be.
I look forward because the one thing you've seen it before, you've had it in other districts. Is it sustainable?
That's the big key. We need to make sure it's sustainable. And I think the experiences that students have that actually participate as a student on the school board will be what makes it sustainable because kids will share their experiences. I know that was the case in other districts where we've had that. And so that's something that I'm hopeful will help keep its sustainability, but we will try.
We know it's happened elsewhere, and so this will be new for us, but it'll be interesting.
Yes.
I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us, and we had a few other wins that came up. I think what Gilbert said, thanks for your team.
Oh, yes. Our team and our coaches, they said we left the locker rooms looking better than they found it. So that's always a nice compliment, right? As a parent, I know that feeling when you find the room in pristine condition. It feels really good. So it was nice to have that compliment come from Gilbert from our last football game.
We would like to have a few more points there. But, we'll work on that.
So, but it's nice to know that we took care of the area that we were provided. So.
Now, our homecoming is a little later.
It is.
Yeah, it's a little later this year. So it's still coming, folks.
It is.
We can talk
October.
About it.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.